BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello, this is the show that starts with your story. Or question, we don't charge. Barbara Potter in Glasgow is part of a group who for 7 years have been trying to start their own co-housing community for elderly people, like this one.
My life has been transformed since I've been here.
It works extremely well. It's just wonderful.
Yeah. It's great. I love it.
Not heard a single person here say anything but, I love being here.
This week on IPM, how these ladies got it off the ground. 26 over 50s, living together in the UK's first and only senior co-housing community.
Well, it's a block of flats, each of them self-contained, each with their own facilities, some one bed, two bed, three bed. And they have shared facilities in the group where they cook together and eat together once a week. They've got a film group, they've got a meditation group, they've got a yoga group. They have regular outings that one of them organises. They've got all kinds of work teams, one for the garden. There's a buildings group, a legal group, and a finance group. They're all very busy, and they're all of them very involved. Everybody can do something.
That's Maria from the Co-Housing Network. It was her idea to bring senior co-housing to the UK.
Well, I came across it originally in the Netherlands 20 years ago. Their premise was that older people living together in charge of their own environment, agreeing on ways of living with mutual support, friendly neighbourliness, etc., would keep older people happier, healthier, more active, and therefore reduce demands on their health and social care budgets.
How would you differentiate between that and a care home? Lay out the difference.
Oh, gosh. A co-housing community is where the residents are in charge. The Ouch Group, for instance, older women's co-housing community in High Barnet, runs the whole place. It makes all the decisions together as a group. They all share responsibility. They all share the work. And they share the benefits. You couldn't get a bigger contrast between that and a care home.
In a practical sense, what is a co-housing community? Is it everyone selling up their houses and putting money into a pot and building a house which they all then live in? And then how does it work once they move in?
Well, it's a mix. I mean, if you take the Ouch Group as an example, we were always keen that the group would be mixed tenure. In other words, that it would include women who didn't have enough capital to own their own homes. And that's what we've achieved. So 2/3 of them are women who sold up their existing homes and bought flats in the scheme. And 1/3 is women who are eligible for social housing and they pay a rent to a small landlord.
Our listener who got in touch said they've been struggling to get theirs off the ground. What have you learned that's a good way to actually get things moving and sort of cut through the bureaucracy and then the stodge?
You've got to find a site. If you have your eye on a site, then there's a local authority that it sits in. And then you go and educate and woo that local authority to be helpful to you. And you start wooing developers to help you work it. And we are now developing the infrastructure of support that was lacking for us 20 years ago to help older people's groups and other co-housing groups put those schemes together.
It's taken ages to get this going, this particular one, which I'm about to see in a minute. Are you thrilled that it's up, running and ticking along quite nicely, by the sounds of it?
I'm absolutely delighted that Ouch has happened. I mean, it is a lovely, lovely place. I mean, I actually feel quite envious when I go there because I don't live there.
No.
But, I mean, I helped it happen and I'm very proud of that. And I participate in it as much as I can from afar. But it works extremely well. They put their heart and souls into it. And they are making it a real, real success.
Why don't you live in one? Will you end up living in one at some point, do you think?
They've made me an honorary member. I felt it was, when I was working with the Ouch Group, that it was more... We had so many disappointments. We lost so many sites. And we had so many failures that every time the group's morale went down, if mine had gone down because my personal circumstances were involved, I think that we would never have got as far as we did. I was always there to buck them up and make them see the wider picture and look to the next horizon. And I think that was a very useful role to have and is what most groups need, somebody else who on the outside, really. But I have to say I'm quite jealous of what they do have.
Is it harder for senior co-housing groups to get off the ground because councils might have worries about, we're inviting a load of people who might have very expensive needs in a few years into our patch?
I think it is harder in that sense. We have a culture that patronises older people or totally ignores them. And it is harder for older people to hang on to that sense of agency and being in control of their own lives against that culture. There is resistance among local authorities. We experienced it ourselves. Resistance from a local authority to older people from other areas moving in case they might make demands on the social care budget. On the other hand, we would present the notion of a co-housing community as providing an age-friendly, age-proofed environment for older people for the future, encouraging older people to size down and to leave large family houses for families. So, you know, there are pluses and minuses all the way through.
So to High Barnet in north London and to Shirley at her co-housing scheme for senior women, the first of its kind in the UK.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Who is the gardener?
We are. We run the whole place ourselves.
Everyone is looking into a lovely big patch of lawn.
That's right.
These amazing patches of flowers and shrubs. There are benches. People's front rooms are sort of spilling out onto little terraces.
Right. And we can look out and we wave to each other and we shout at each other and shout, you said, don't open the door and they're not well. Are you all right today? Do you want anything?
It looks quite swish.
It is quite swish, yes. Old people don't want to be forgotten. Forlorn building, also forlorn. We wanted to be proud of it, you know.
How long did it take to get all of this together?
Well, it was 18 years from the day we had the idea to when we moved in.
And you were there from the start 18 years ago?
I'm the only one who's still alive from that point.
And what do you make, looking at this now, bright and in bloom and it all finished and looking brilliant, what do you think, 18 years down the line?
Everything is so much better than I ever dreamt of. It was like a dream to start with. We knew nothing about how to go about it. And we learnt along the way, and it was really hard, and we could have given up many, many times, but we didn't. The one big advantage of taking a long time is it gave us time to build up the community. The community of people is the most important thing. And this, of course, the design helps to become a community.
Oh, I think I might move in.
Wait, you can't. It's just for women.
Oh, OK, yeah, fair enough.
There's no reason why you shouldn't start one yourself.
I'm shown the common room, where they have regular group meals and business meetings. There's a laundry room, an office, a post room.
Whoever's up first and sees the postman collects the postman downstairs and brings up and puts them in the letterboxes.
And all the 24 postboxes, white, purple, green.
Suffragette cars, yeah.
Why specifically suffragette?
Why is it suffragette? Because we're promoting the ability of women and old women to be alive and active and giving back something to society. As the original suffragettes do.
And finally, Shirley's flat. Two bedrooms, a balcony, and she's invited a couple of her neighbours.
Sheila! Sheila!
All right.
We're here.
Sheila.
I run the guest room with somebody else. I do the fire alarms team with about five other people.
And Josie.
I'm the recycling queen. It's not just about the rubbish, but I do send out a newsletter called Rubbish News, which everybody likes.
These two have joined the group over the years, but Shirley has been with it since the start.
What was the alternative for us? I was 68 at the time. I was living on my own. My children had left home. I lived 26 steps up into my flat, and I was getting less able. I didn't want to call on my children all the time. I didn't want to go into a retirement home. My brain was still working. I wanted to keep it working. I wanted to be used to society. I didn't want to be put into the corner and forgotten about. But I wanted to be active and want to give something to society and be a use to ourselves and to society. And this seemed like a fantastic idea. So we thought, it's exciting, let's break new ground. Let's do it.
I think we talk a lot about with people in older age is loneliness. And people talk about the effects on their health and all that can bring. How good has this been at pushing back loneliness? And do you sometimes compare the life you have here with lives of friends or relatives who are in not this circumstance?
Yeah.
You can't be lonely here because there's always somebody next door or upstairs to go and talk to. If you, you know, if you want to talk to somebody, there's always someone to talk to. Here we can open our door and know absolutely that there's no one in the building apart from us or our visitors and our guests.
Vivian said to me the other day, I love going home after a busy day here, maybe, and or out, and pulling my curtains and sitting down to the telly because I know everybody around me and it feels safe and cozy. Mm. And it's true. There's something about knowing everybody in the building that is a really wonderful feeling.
What on earth are the downsides?
I think there, I mean, when I decided to get a cat, there was a kind, you know, I needed to agree it with everybody. Mm. So, and I, there was a point where I thought, oh, there is a layer of bureaucracy, I was going to say, that, but it's not quite the right word, but it's, you know, I need to agree.
Approval.
Yeah. And if I had been on my own in, you know, if I'd been lonely somewhere else, I would have just got a bloody cat. You know, it's kind of that. That was, but that is a bit of a, that's just me having a, whatever.
What are you going to say?
We have conflict about membership. When we're recruiting for the non-resident members, there have been differences of opinion about who would be acceptable in the group. I mean, somebody said to us, you're moving in, it's like getting married to 26 people. They're all individual personalities, it's bound to be conflict, but you can sort it through in your setting, you can do it.
Yeah. The reason we're here is because a listener got in touch. They're trying to do what you're doing, but are up against various problems. What advice would you give them as someone who's done it, who's someone's actually got it up and running?
You need to start from the community. You need to gather the people together before you have land and before we have sites and decide whether it's going to be purchased, whether it's going to be rented, how you're going to acquire those. But the policies that are involved in creating it, all the various aspects have to be talked through before you move in. It's very much start from the community. It's not always easy, but we started, we did it, and it can be done. Mm. And yes, we are desperately hopeful that other people will follow. When we had our launch, I spoke at it. And one of the things I said has been quoted back at me many times is, I said, we are unique, but we don't want to be unique.
Over the years, the group has lost various members of the community, including one from the original trio, Madeline. She died 10 years ago when they had no potential site and no prospect of the project ever happening.
Madeline and I held it together. It was very difficult early years. And Madeline was ill with cancer for quite a long time. She went into a hospice. And when she was in hospice, I went to visit her. Many of us did. And she said to me then, you'll make sure it happens, won't you? And I said, yes. And when it came to her funeral, I stood by her grave as her body was going into the ground, and I said, Madeline, it's happening. She would have been thrilled to bits. I'm very proud and happy about that.
Shirley, Sheila and Josie in their co-housing community in Barnet, North London. We had a look at this because our listener, Barbara Potter, is trying to do the same thing in Glasgow. She emailed us ipm@bbc.co.uk. You can do the same with your news, stories or schemes.